Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances which Yahweh your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land which you go over to possess. All the time Moses is encouraging them, you are going to possess the land. Now when they actually got there, Joshua defeated a lot of the kings, but they didn't actually possess. He won all the victories like Jesus did on the cross, because Joshua is the Hebrew form of the word for Jesus. But they didn't possess the land as they should have done. They didn't drive out all the Canaanites. And so Moses is encouraging them all the time. You can possess the kingdom. He says this so many times. You are going to possess the land. Go on, go and do it. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, so that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as Yahweh, God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. So the fact that there's one God means that you don't, therefore, have any idols. That if God is one, that's not simply a truth that you tick off, as it were, put a tick next to it, that yes, I believe that God is one, not a trinity, not anything else, God is one. It means that you love him with everything you've got. If there were 10 gods, you'd give a tenth of all your devotion to each of the gods. But there's one God. So you love him with everything. And so he goes on, and you shall love Yahweh your God, this one God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I command you this day shall be on your heart, and you must teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down at bedtime, and when you rise up in the morning. So I suggest that in family life you do that, that you talk about God's word, and that you have your Bible reading sessions when you rise up in the morning and when you lie down to go to bed at night. And if you're not married, you need to think about, well, am I going to marry somebody who has that same view? Because together, maybe you're going to raise a family. And these are the things that make up life. You shall bind them for a sign on your hand, and they shall be for memorials between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, which when Yahweh your God gives you the land which he swore to your fathers to give you, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They will be great and good cities which you didn't build, houses full of all good things which you didn't fill, wells dug out which you didn't dig, vineyards and olive trees which you didn't plant. And you shall eat and be full, then beware lest you forget Yahweh, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So when you've eaten and you're full, when you're prosperous and enjoying the good life, beware lest you forget Yahweh. And that's one reason, I think, why many believers down the years have not been wealthy. Because when Israel got full, then they forgot their God. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked, Moses says. So beware lest you forget God because of the good life. It's strange that in our society, everybody looks for the good life. That's the dream. And yet, why don't you get it? Because you probably may forget your God. And God wants us, above all things, to be in his kingdom, to live forever, not to just have a great life now. It's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter God's kingdom. And they were to remember that God brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. We must remember our beginnings. We must remember that we were not originally the people of God. Even if you were brought up with believing mum and dad, you were not originally God's people. You chose to become God's people by baptism, by going through the water of baptism, which is like Israel going through the Red Sea and leaving Egypt. Remember that the world is the house of bondage. It offers freedom, apparently, but it's not. As soon as you are just doing what you want, you are in bondage to sin, to the flesh. So remember your beginnings. You must fear Yahweh your God, and you shall serve him and swear by his name. You must not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For Yahweh your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. Otherwise the anger of Yahweh shall be kindled against you, and he will destroy you from off the face of the land. So because God loves us so much, because we are the sole focus of his love, therefore he's going to be jealous. If we then go off with other gods, you must not test Yahweh your God as you tested him in Massah. You must diligently keep the commandments of Yahweh your God. Do what is right and good in his sight, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which Yahweh swore to your fathers, to thrust out all your enemies from before you. When your son asks you in time to come, what do the testimonies and the laws which Yahweh commanded you, what do they mean? Then you shall tell your son, we were Pharaoh's bondservants in Egypt, and Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and Yahweh showed great and awesome signs and wonders on Egypt and Pharaoh and on all his house. He brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers, and he commanded us to do all these statutes that he might preserve us alive as at this day. So God brought them out from Egypt that he might bring them in. And here you see the idea of the Hebrew idea of holiness, that we are separated from the world, from Egypt, from the flesh, but we are separated unto that which is positive. He brought them out that he might bring them in. Now, unless you're going to give yourself wholly and wholeheartedly to all the good things that God has brought us unto, then you are simply going to live your life regretting that, I was brought out of Egypt. I've been taken away from the apparently good life, the life of the flesh. No, there should be no regret about those things, because we have been separated unto good things, to be God's children, to do his work, to live in his way, which is only in the end for our good.